A morning. Today's daf in Erevin. Pei Zayin. We're in Pei Vav and Beis. We're starting from a funny place. We're starting with the words Vim Tomar, which is clearly the middle of the thought, but nevertheless, that's where we're starting this morning. So let's just quickly recap. The Gemara yesterday was talking about suspended walls. Suspended walls happens to be a popular topic here in Erevin, as obviously a good part of our Masechta is dedicated to the topic of enclosures and how to make partitions and walls. So once again, yesterday we discussed the topic of suspended walls. How did it come up? So it's based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that if I have a well, a pit, that is between two chatzeros, and the two chatzeros are separated by the wall that runs above it, so each member of the chatzer would like to draw water from that pit, yet the Mishnah discusses what, if anything, do we need to do in order to separate the water that's in the pit between the two chatzeros. So we had a number of opinions in the Mishnah. The Mishnah finds itself on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, yesterday's daf on the Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah brought down a number of opinions. Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But to just say it succinctly, so there has to be some sort of wall within the pit itself. Whether the wall has to exist above the water, whether the wall has to be submerged in the water, so that we discussed yesterday. Rav Yehuda, Amraim, who weighed in on this issue. But there was also in the Mishnah, Shita Rav Yehuda. Shita Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah is that there is no need whatsoever to make any wall within the pit, but rather what you need to do is just simply make a wall above the pit, and that would be fine. Meaning, the wall that runs over the pit that separates the two chatzeros, so that wall is going to be sufficient. That wall is grounds enough to allow for each member of each of the chatzeros to draw from their side of the pit. So Shitas Rav Yehuda is that the wall that goes over is going to be sufficient in order to allow each member of each of the chatzeros to draw from their side of the water. With that stated, the Gemara noted yesterday that maybe what we could do is we can create an alignment. This is an exercise that the Gemara engages in often. And this is brought to us by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that what we could do is that we could align together the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda here and Rabbi Yossi over there in the Mishnah Sukkah. And basically what it sounds like is that both of them are subscribers to this idea of suspended walls. Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the concept of suspended walls. You see that clearly over here in our discussion. And the Gemara and Sukkah, so there you have walls that are basically coming down. Walls, they're not dropping to the bottom floor. And yet, according to the sheet of Rav Yossi, that'll work as well. So Rav Yochanan suggested that this now sounds like we have a match. We have a match of Shitas of Rav Yehuda here in Erevin and Rav Yossi in Sukkah. And the Gemara deflects, and the Gemara says, not necessarily. It could very well be that each of their positions are specific to their topic. Rav Yehuda is only specific here to Erevin. He wouldn't have said the same thing by Sukkah. Sukkah is a mitzvah daraisa. Erevin is to satisfy rabbinic legislation. So that's one way to separate the two topics. And then you can go in the other direction. And what Rav Yossi says is, no, I'm talking about the mitzvah of Sukkah. Mitzvah of Sukkah is a mitzvah essay, positive commandment. When you're dealing with Shabbos, even though, yes, we're dealing with the rabbinic side of Shabbos, but Shabbos in general is a not only Nisa Daraisa, but Nisa Daraisa with the Chi of Skila, it's serious stuff. So it's the fundamentals of Yadus. Okay. So Rav Yossi would say that you don't necessarily have to put me together with the Shita Rav Yehuda. I may not agree with the Shita Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara does a classic discussion of trying to compare the two Shitas and contrast the two Shitas. With that stated, now we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So so what Rav Yossi says is that when it comes to Shabbos, we may not necessarily say that a suspended wall is going to be considered a wall. That's where we stand right now with the Shita Rav Yossi. And yes, he does say by Sukkah it would work, but that's specific to Sukkah, again, as we already differentiated. V'im Tomer, the Gemara says, now wait one second. So also, Maisa Shanasi Bitzorah Api Minasa. So the Gemara says, what about the episode in Sipari? We all know the episode in Sipari. Now, at this point in time, we don't know the episode in Sipari, but we're going to acquaint ourselves with it. Actually, the truth of the matter is we already saw it once in Shas. But anyway, we don't. What about the episode in Sipari? And under whose opinion was it following? So Lo Al Pi Rabbi Yossi. So So wasn't it done through the sheet of Rav Yossi? So Alapi Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi Nasa. So the Gemara says that it wasn't done through Rav Yossi, but it was done through the next generation, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara says, good. Dechias Rav Dimi Amar. Now let's acquaint ourselves. What are we talking about over here? What was the episode in Tzipori that seemed to have been a problem, but then the Gemara says it's not a problem? So anyway, the episode is Pamachas Shichuchu V'lo Iviu Sefer Torah Mibod Yom. So the one time they forgot the Sefer Torah, and what do they do? So Lamachar, meaning on Shabbos itself, Parsu Sadin Al Hamudim. So what they did is they ran curtains over the pillars. And or across the pillars, and basically what they did is they set up mechitzas on Shabbos, and that was going to be allowing the Sefer Torah to be brought in. You take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi gives a somewhat detailed description of what exactly the walls were able to accomplish. How can the walls allow for the Sefer Torah to be carried through a chatzar, which obviously without the walls the Sefer Torah cannot be carried through? Rashi basically, right? I'm not going to go through the Rashi inside, but Rashi basically says that what the walls are doing is it's creating a single lane, highway, road, not highway, but a restricted area where basically it's only going to be the shul and the Sefer Torah, wherever the Sefer Torah was coming from. And it blocks out all the other reshuyos. See Rashi inside for more details. Anyway, the point is as follows. Veheviu Sefer Torah, Vekarabo, they brought the Sefer Torah through these walls and they read from the Sefer Torah. So first of all, the Gemara needs clarification. They set it up on Shabbos, parsu lechatzchila misharif. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos itself. V'ha ha-komodim she'nosen ol arai b'Shabbos. That's making a temporary ohel, and you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. So we're not talking about where it was set up on Shabbos. Ela, matzus adim perusim ala amudim. So no, and the curtains were already set up before Shabbos. V'hiviyu sefer Torah v'karabo, and they brought the sefer Torah and via the curtained walls, and that's how they got the sefer Torah to the place where it needed to be. And by the way, the overall assumption, the Gemara doesn't even articulate this, but it's clear that this is what is driving the Gemara. And the question of the Gemara is that these curtains were suspended walls. The curtains didn't go all the way down. And because they were suspended walls, so you see, so suspended walls are okay. And we're not even talking about over water. It was in a chatzir. So suspended walls are okay. And again, the Gemara said, yeah, but that wasn't Rabbi Yossi, that was Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So for us to say that Rav Yossi would not generally be happy with suspended walls, we could still maintain that position. The incident in Tzipori where suspended walls were okay, that's Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi. That's not Rav Yossi himself. Okay, good. We're almost ready to go on. One point, which is Shitas Rashi. Okay, whenever we talk about Ol Arai, so Rashi says time and again that Ol Arai is only for the horizontal, not for the vertical. Meaning for making an OL, so there are two parts to an OL. There are the walls, that's the vertical, and then there's the roof, that's the horizontal. So Rashi time and again says that OL, the actual definition of OL vis-a-vis the Isser Shabbos of Asiyas OL, is only the rooftop itself, only the horizontal, not the vertical. So over here, our Gemara poses a bit of a challenge to Rashi, because our Gemara seems to suggest, it reads pretty clearly, that the walls that we put up, the mechitzas that we put up, falls under the category of OL. So our Gemara does present a problem to Rashi, and Rashi's sheet in general. There definitely is a defense of Rashi, but not for now. In the meantime, however, just noting the basic problem that our Gemara presents on Shitas Rashi. Anyway, we continue. Tosas, by the way, we saw this back in Masechet Shabbos. Tosas says that the Isser of a Asiyas Oel, making an Oel, is not only on the roof, but on the walls as well. Our Gemara obviously fits very well into that position. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara. We are towards the bottom of Pevavim and Beis, and this is now a continuation. For the upcoming Gemara, so if you have any kind of visual aid whatsoever, the Masifta, the Art Scroll, whatever you have, it's going to be really helpful in terms of seeing these upcoming cases, because they are visually demanding, these next cases. So if you have something to look at, great. Obviously, I'm going to try to describe it to the best of my ability, but the pictures really are going to be very helpful. Amar Rabba, the Gemara now continues, and that is Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, Amru Davar Echad. So according to Rabba, we're basically going to do what we did yesterday, and that is trying to align shitas together. So we're going to align the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya. So Rabbi Yehuda Adamaron. So Rabbi Yehuda, we already know yesterday's Mishnah. We went over it already this morning. The idea that the wall that runs over the pit So that's going to serve as the partition for the pit itself. The members of each of the chatzeros on the two sides of the wall can go ahead and draw from their side. Because that wall, even though it's a suspended wall, so that's going to act as a mechitza for Shabbos. Good. That's Shitas Rav Yehuda. Now, what about Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia? Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia did not. We learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia Omer, a gezusha sheish ba arba amos al arba amos. So let's say I have a balcony that is 4 amos by 4 amos. Now, 4 amos by 4 amos. So let's convert that to tefachim. It's actually very simple. 6 tefachim per amma. 6 times 4, 24. So you're basically looking at a plank that is 24 by 24 tefachim. Now, well, here's what you're going to do. Or you're not going to do it, but here's what halacha will allow us to do. And that is chokik ba'arba l'arba'a umemale. So what we're going to do is that we're going to cut out a hole. Now, this is the part that Let's try this again. This is the part you're actually going to do. And that is cut a hole right in the center. A square hole right in the center of 4x4. And now what you could do is that while standing now on this platform that exists over the water, you can draw through the hole in the center. Okay, now, here's all the assumptions going into this discussion. Number one, the platform itself is a Rishus Yachid. Okay, let's assume. The water that you're drawing is a Karmelis. Again, a constant assumption that we make, that any body of water is the status of a Karmelis. Good. So now you're transferring from a Karmelis to Rishus Yachid. You're not allowed to do that. That's an Isser Derabanan. So how is Rabbi Chananya ben Akavi allowing it over here? Okay, so here we get to the part where it would be helpful if you're looking at a picture. Now, when you cut out this flat platform, when you cut out the center 4x4, so what do you have on the side? So it was 24 to begin with. So once you cut out the 4x4, so you're left with, from the center hole or center square to the exterior of this plank, so you're left with 10 tefachim on every one of the sides. Okay, now, in theory, what you could do is as follows. You don't have to do this, but the halacha allows us to look at it as if it's done. And that is that I can cut out each of the four sides, bend them down, and now what I'm looking at over here is the mechitzos that are dropping down, and the mechitzos that are dropping down, now halacha will allow me to say that now, once I already have these 10 tefachim mechitzos that are bent down, so now we also have another principle of gerachis, which is that the walls continue to go down. This is suspended walls, exactly the point. Meaning that what Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia is allowing over here is the bend of these walls to go down, and then even after the bend, so the walls to continuously go down through the principle of gerachis, despite the fact that these are suspended walls. Okay, and if you are looking at a picture right now, you get to see this super clearly. Okay, but either way, so what we have over here now seemingly is alignment. We have the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and the sheet of Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia, and they seem to be in perfect agreement one with the other. Amalei Abaye Vidim Alohi, Abaye says, no, not necessarily. Ad kan lo kamer Rav Yehuda asam, ela da'amar gurachis mechitzta. Look, Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah here in Erevin, on yesterday's daf on Peh Vavam and Aleph, so he says gurachis. Yeah, so the suspended wall is going to drop down. Aval kof, v'god lo. But he wouldn't go so far as Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia, he goes actually one step further. He not only is saying gurachis, but he's saying on top of that, the walls also, in addition to bending, also extend downward. So that's a bend, that's one halachic principle, and then the continuation of the wall, the extension of the wall, that's another halachic principle, so that's kof and that's god, that's too much. So the Gemara says, v'ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia asa ela miyama shel Tveria. And on top of that, I wouldn't even go in the other direction, because it's true that Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia was lenient in the case of the, of the platform of 24 by 24. But over there, the case was specifically to the Kinneret, the Yamshel Tveria. And later this morning, we're going to see that this is in fact the case. That was talking about the Kinneret. And over there, the Gemara says that he is more inclined to be Makel over there. Ela b'Yamshel Tveria. Why? Because all the Yeshla Gnaim v'Ayaros v'Karfifos Makifos Asa. Because the Kinneret, even though it is a Karmelis, but it's a Karmelis that looks a little bit like a Rishos Yachid. If you go around the Kinneret, not nowadays, but right years ago, I took a bike and took it all the way around the Kinneret. But the but if you go around the Kinneret in the time of the Gemara, so what you're going to note is that it's surrounded by the Gemara describes it as banks, cities. It looks like a Rishos Yachid. Now, I don't think the Gemara is saying that it's an actual Rishos Yachid, meaning it is a body of water, but it's a karma list that looks so similar to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, so we can be slightly more lenient in regards to the status of drawing from the karma list. We can be, and here I'm fully intent on the pun, we could be more flexible. So that means to say that this platform over here we're going to take the walls, we're going to bend the walls halachically to go down, thereby creating now the mechitzos necessary to have a suspended wall. Then on top of that, we're also going to have the suspended walls going down through the principle of godachis. All that is an allowance in this particular case, because the tveria, although it's a karmelist, it looks like a Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So therefore, we're going to be more makel. Okay, so the Gemara says that the positions are similar to one another, but they don't necessarily align with one another. Amar Abaye. The Gemara really is going to grab hold of this position, Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. How far is he going to go? Meaning, clearly over here, he's taking certain flexibility in terms of halacha regarding the definition of a wall. Taking a flat platform, allowing the walls to bend down, then using the principle of good achis, that's a lot. So the Gemara wants to know, is there other applications of this principle of Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya? Amar Abaye Ladiver Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya Haisa Smucha Lekosol Mipachus Shmishosha Tvachim. So let's say we have right now our flat platform, and it's against the house, against the side of a house, and it's less than 3 Tvachim away from the house. So Orka Arba Amos Barochva Acharasar Umashu. So now the length of the platform is 24 Tvachim, right, where the Gemara just described as 4 Amos, 24 Tvachim, and from the house extending outward, so it only needs to go out a little bit more than 11 tefachim. Actually, first a gap of less than 3 tefachim, then a little bit more than 11 tefachim, and that's going to be sufficient. Meaning that will work according to Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. Now again over here, if you're looking at the picture, if you're looking at a picture, so it'll be extraordinarily helpful over here. So the side of the platform, each one of them is going to go down, and because it was 24 tefachim in length, so you understand now that when they drop down, they're going to be dropping down 10 tefachim on each side. Very good. Now, even on the side that is furthest from the wall, that also is going to drop down. How much is that dropping down? Also 10 tefachim. How? Because remember, it is just a little bit less than 3 tefachim away from the wall. Then the plank itself extends outward 11 tefachim. Good. So now what we're doing is that 10 of those 11 tefachim we're dropping down. So now basically I have 3 walls, we're going to put that in quotes, the 2 dropping from the side, 1 dropping furthest away from the wall, and then, good, and that now creates our 4 mechitzas. Where's the 4th mechitza? The side of the house. The side of the house is going to be our 4th mechitza. So that's another way of applying the principle of Chanan ben Akavya. The Gemara is going to give us another way. Haisa Zakufa. Let's say our platform over here is not lying down horizontally, but rather it's vertical. So the Gemara says over here now, so with our flexibility and with our bending of the walls, the quotes for that, so all I need now is for this platform to be 10 tefachim high, and it only needs to be a little bit more than 16 tefachim across. Now consider that the vertical platform is facing the house, so the house already serves as one wall. The vertical platform serves as a second wall. And what we're going to do now is we're going to take the 2 ends of our vertical platform and we're going to bend them inward. Again, not really bend them inward, but halachically bend them inward. And being that we are looking at where it is, where the this vertical wall is 16, so we took, not 16. It's only, sorry, I was wrong about that. It's 6 going across, so that's all you need. Because now 4 tefachim, right, is going to be the unbent portion. And then what we're going to do is that we're going to bend 1 on this side and 1 on the other side. And when I say 1, I mean 1 plus, right? 1 and a little bit more. And we're going to bend that towards the house. It's within 3 tefachim of the house. Lovett now tells us that the gaps are filled in. So this would be another scenario in which the platform, using the bending of Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, would form the 4 walls necessary to allow me to draw water from the Carmelis below. And the Gemara now has a 3rd case. Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, Haiso Omeres Bekeren Zavis. Now let's say that we have a corner of the house, meaning the houses are coming in at a corner. You're looking at a perpendicular. So Haiso Zekufa Tzarech Sheyei Gava Asar Tfachim V'Rochva Shisha Tfach. I just went backwards. Arm Rav Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. This is now going to be the third application, and that is Haisa Amidus Bekaren Zavis. If let's say it is a it's the perpendicular, the two houses are coming in 90 degrees. So Sarch Shei Gova Sar Tfachim VeRochva Shei Tfachim Ushnei Mashuuyim. So over here, you really don't need a lot of platform. What you're going to have now is a vertical platform, a vertical post. It's going to be 10 tefachim high, obviously, for the wall. And now, what's the width of the platform going to be? So the truth of the matter is it doesn't need to be any more than just a little over 2 tefachim. Why? Because what we're going to do is that we're going to put it a little bit less than 3 tefachim against one wall. So that creates now one wall of 4 tefachim. And then we're going to, again, in quotes, bend the other tefach plus of the wall. That's going to bring us up against the other wall. And so now what we have are the four walls. Two walls that are created by the house and two walls that are created by this quote-unquote bent this bent post. Okay, Gemara says good. The Elahad Detain, so the Gemara says good. The Gemara is bothered by one question. It's a detailed question, but still, it's a good question, and that is that with all these applications you saw, that the wall of the house was able to supplement. So we didn't need our bent platform to create all four walls. So remember how we started off the whole discussion where Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya says that I'm going to have a platform of 24 by 24 tefachim, and we're going to bend each sides. When do I ever need that case? Meaning that case is assuming that there's no house over there. So the Gemara is going to ask that question, and the Gemara is going to basically say, no, that's a good observation, and you're right. That case is talking about where there's no house. So what is that case? Meaning I never need that much platform material because I'm always going to be able to use the house itself as one of the walls. So the Gemara says, you're right. So the Avida ki asisa. So the Gemara says that, in that case over there, it looks like a mortar. But basically, what the Gemara is answering is that that particular case is talking about where there is no walls of a house. The platform is existing, right, in of itself. I'm not really sure how it's being held up. And whatever the case, doesn't matter. The point is that there is no house that this platform is leaning against. Because if there was a house, the house already provides a wall. And that would be, and I wouldn't need that much material as we originally presented. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so what we have done so far is that we tried to align together the shitas of Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. Rav Yehuda and our Mishnah here in Erevin and Peivav, yesterday's daf, allows for suspended walls to work on Shabbos. Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya also allows suspended walls to work on Shabbos. But the Gemara notes that Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya actually goes one more step. And that is, not only does he allow suspended walls, but he allows even the bending of the walls and then suspended walls. So good. So the two positions don't align. And then what the Gemara did is that once Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya allows for the bending of the walls, so the Gemara just simply flexed in terms of what would be other scenarios where Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya would allow for the bending of the walls. Basically, how little actual material do I need once I have this principle of bending of the walls? So how much little material do I need in order to allow to carry, to transfer from the house to the from the house to the water below and draw the water through these bent walls? Okay, Amas Mayim Overes Bechatzer. We have a canal running through the Chatzer. Sorry, we're starting with the mission now on Pei Zayin Amid Aleph. So now we have a canal running through the Chatzer. So good. So streams of water. So Amas Chaim Shi Overes Bechatzer Eim Malam Eim Ane B'Shabbes. So now, can I draw from the canal, the flowing water in the canal? So yes, but only if I have walls both on the entrance and on the exit. Right? The canal is obviously running through a ditch, running through the chatzer. And if I put a halachic mechitza where the water is entering in the chatzer and where the water is exiting, so that would be sufficient. And presumably, like we said just in the previous Mishnah, those walls have to be interior to the canal. Now, I say that confidently because I know what's coming up in the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Omer, Kosar Sha'agaba, Tidom Mishum Mechitza. Rav Yehuda says that's not necessary, meaning there's obviously walls of the Chatzer running over the canal. That's sufficient. And this is Rav Yehuda L'shita So, meaning go back to the previous Mishnah and what we just spent so far this morning and yesterday discussing. And Rav Yehuda allows for the suspended wall of the chatzir to drop down and serve as the partition for the canal itself. So Rav Yehuda is consistent in our Mishnah to that which he said in the previous Mishnah. I'm Rav Yehuda Maisa Ba'amashal Avel. Rav Yehuda says there was an episode in the town of Avel. That's the name of a town. And Rav Yehuda says, look, I'm telling you, I saw it. Right there, in this town, there was a canal running through the chatzer. The chachamim of that town said it was perfectly fine. Amrlo, they said to Rav Yehuda, "Mimnei shalohayu ba'kishir." No, that canal was not a good case study because that canal did not have the requisite shear. Okay, and presumably what that means is that the canal itself was not four tefachim wide. If it's less than four tefachim wide, it does not have the status of a karmelis. And so therefore, that's why they allowed from the drawing of that particular canal, because it did not have the status of a karmelis. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara starts off quoting a braisa, which is basically going to repeat what we saw in our Mishnah. Asula b'kenisa, velo asula b'yitzia. Asula b'yitzia, velo asula b'kenisa. Ein memalan heman, b'shabes, ella imkein asula, mechitza asara tfachem b'yitzia, uvechnisa. So here in the braisa, same as we saw in the Mishnah. In order to be able to draw from this canal on Shabbos, the members of the chatzer are going to need to make a wall both on the entrance and the exit of the water of this canal from the chatzer. Rav Yehuda Omer, and Rav Yehuda says, no, Kosto Sha'agaba Tido Misha Mechitza, and Rav Yehuda says, not necessary, there's a wall going over the canal, meaning the wall of the chatzer going over the canal, that's going to serve as our wall for the canal itself. And Amr Rav Yehuda, Ma'isa Ba'ama Samayim Cha'isa Ba'amei Avalot Ziporin. Again, like we saw in our Mishnah, the Bryce is going to give us the same information, which is that there was an incident in the town of Avel. The Hayim Amalim Hemana B'Shabbos Al Pizakenim, and Rav Yehuda says, "Look, I know the Chachamim over there allowed for the drawing of the water." So Amar Lo Misham Raim Mimnei Shelo Aisa Amuka Asar Tfachim Veruch Varba. And here in the Bryce, so the Bryce actually gives us numbers, right? This is the one detail that we didn't see in our Mishnah, and so in the Bryce it says, "No, it's not over here." The canal under discussion is not a karmelis. It's not four tefachim wide. It's not ten tefachim deep. It's not a karmelis. And so therefore, it's not a good case study. Tangidech, the Gemara quotes another braisa. Amas amayim alvers bena chalonos. Let's say we have a canal. It goes into a chatzer, and it's flowing. Over here, the braisa describes it as flowing between windows. Okay. Pachus mishlosha mishalshel dli umemale. And shlosha ein mishalsho dli mimale. So when it is less than three tfachim, so then you can draw from this canal. But when it is less, when it is three tfachim or more, so you cannot draw from the canal. Okay. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer pachos me arba mishalsho dli mimale, arba ein mishalsho dli umimale. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. When it's less than four, you can draw. But if it's four or above, so then you cannot draw. Okay, now, the simple discussion over here, which is really going to occupy the remainder of today's daf, is going to be, we're saying in this braisa that in order to be able to draw water from the windows, meaning the canal, right, I'm not sure if I explained this well, the canal is not running from window to window, the canal is running through the chatzer, and what you want to do is basically stick your head out the window with a bucket, lower the bucket with a rope, and draw water from the canal. Okay, good. What the Bryce is teaching us is, if it is less than three tefachim, it's fine. But once it is three tefachim or above, then it's not fine. So you'll probably notice I put a lot of emphasis on the word it, because in the Bryce, it was a pronoun. And so a lot of Gemara revolves around ambiguous pronouns. So what's the it that we're referring to over here? Right? What does it mean if it is less than three tefachim versus if it is three tefachim or above? And according to Shimon Gamliel, same discussion, just the number changes to four. Okay. Now, probably is right if you know Erevin well, or not well, but if you have a cursory understanding of Erevin, so you know that there's a machlokus throughout Erevin between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel over what the share of Lavud is. So if we're going to propose an explanation in this price, whatever that explanation is, probably going to surround the concept of Lavud, right? That would be an intuitive guess. Now, not only is that an intuitive guess, it happens to be that at the end of the sugya, so we're going to hear b'shem Ravina, that's exactly the issue. Of course, what we're going to do at the end of the sugya is we're going to find out, what does Lavud have anything to do with this discussion over here? Okay, but Anyway, that would be an intuitive guess and a good guess. But what the Gemara is going to do before that is the Gemara is going to give a couple of other explanations of how to understand this price. So the Gemara now wants clarity on this price. Now, when we're talking about the three, the less than three, are we talking about the actual canal itself? So the Gemara says, and now we're having a discussion if the canal is less than three tefachim wide. That's our discussion. Which, by the way, you think about it, by the way, that this is a right calling it a canal is almost like misleading in terms of what you and I think about a canal, right? A little bit unfair because here in Florida canals are extraordinarily wide. But the idea over here is that we're talking about the width of the canal. The Gemara says that's really difficult because ve'ela hadachiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan. So ein karmelis p'chusa me'arba. Look, the Gemara quotes b'shem Rav Yochanan that a karmelis is not less than four tefachim. Meaning over here in the Brice, according to the Tanakhama, if it's less than three tefachim, it's not a karmelis. Rav Dimi quotes Rav Yochanan saying that anything less than four tefachim is not a karmelis. So the definition of a karmelis, you're understanding the Brice to be that it's when less than three. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan says that when it's less than four, it already loses a shem karmelis. And lema ketanai amr l'shmaita. And now what do you want to do? You want to put Rav Yochanan up against this Brice and say that Rav Yochanan is arguing with the Brice? That's really difficult. So ela ba'akpe. So the Gemara here says that what we're discussing over here is the embankment of the canal. And ula hachlif, and here's the discussion. The discussion that we're dealing with over here is hachlafa. What does that mean? So we had this idea already presented a number of times, and let's describe it over here. What I want to do is the following. I'm in the house, and I want to take my head, stick it out the window with the bucket, and I want to drop it. Not directly into the water, but I'm going to put it on the embankment on the canal. Now, this embankment of the canal, let's right now say it's less than three tefachim wide. And then from there, what we're going to do is that, I guess I'll, you know, walk out to the embankment, whatever the case is, and then I'm going to drop the bucket into the water, draw the water, put it back on the embankment, and then bring it into my house. Okay. So the Gemara says, this is what we're describing right now. This is what we're discussing. Now, it should sound familiar because we had a similar discussion regarding a makom pater between a Rishus Yach and Rishus Arabim. So the Gemara says, okay. So over here, what we're suggesting is that when this embankment is less than three tefachim, so now this embankment is a makom pater, and so therefore what would be allowed to do is to use it as a middleman between the house, the Rishus Yachid, and the water, which is a karmelis. So the Gemara says, V'haki asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan, makom shein bo arba l'arba, muta livnei Rishus Yach livnei, Rishus Arabim l'katef alava v'avad, shelo yachlifu. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I'm bothered, because we know that we have a similar discussion. We've seen this already a couple of times in our Masechta, that when I have our makom pater that's situated between a Rishus Yach and Rishus Arabim, so to transfer from the Rishus Yach to the makom pater is fine. And to transfer from the Rishus Arabim to the makom pater is also fine. But what you cannot do is hachlafa. You can't go from the Rishus Yachid to the makom pater and from the makom pater then subsequently to the Rishus Arabim. Because as we have said already numerous times in our Masechta, the Chachamim were concerned that even though technically what you did is fine, but nevertheless what you're going to end up doing is taking out the middleman. And you're going to take out the makom pater. And so what the Chachamim made as a gzera is don't do that. Don't use the makom pater as a conduit to transfer from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Arabim. That is the Isser of Hachlafa. So the Gemara says, so over there, Rav Yochanan, and by the way, that was said over there, B'shem Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan over there forbids Hachlafa. Over here, you're telling me that he permits it? So Hasam Rishus Daraisa. So the Gemara says, and this is intuitive, and you probably guessed it as we turn to the top of Peizainim and Beis, and that is over there, consider what we're describing over there. We're talking about transferring from a Rishus Yachid to Rishus Arabim with the Makom Pater in the middle. That would be, if I took out the Makom Pater, that would be an Isser Daraisa. But Hachas, we are now on the top of Peizainim and Beis, Hachas Rishus Darabanan. Over here, what are we talking about? Transferring from the home to the Karmelis, from the Karmelis to the home, that in and of itself is an Isser Darabanan. Now, of course, that's Aser, but now to use Hachlafa under those circumstances, where even if I were to take out the middleman, we'd be talking about Isser Darabanan, that's kind of like a Gzera L'Gzera, and the Chachamim are not going to make a Gzera in such a scenario. Now, Rav Yochanan Birshu said Rabbanan Ami Amar. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if you're right. Meaning the distinction is beautiful, but I'm not sure if you're right about that, because I'm going to show you that Rav Yochanan is concerned even in a case of a din de Rabbanan that Hachlafa would be prohibited, and that is Kosel Shemen, Shtechat Seres, Gavo Asar Tzvachim, Verochav Arba. We're going to go back to a mission that we saw earlier in the Masechta, in the seventh parak, where I have a wall that's situated between two chatzeros. We have a wall situated between two chatzeros, and the top of the wall is four tefachim wide. And remember this mission, Marvin Shtein Ve Marvin Echad. So over here, because now I have a solid wall that exists between two chatzeros, the two chatzeros can only make independent eruvin, and they can't make a joint eruv. How you berosho Paris? Now, what if there was fruit on the top of the wall? So Eila Ola Mikan Veochlin. The Eila Ola Mikan Veochlin. Now, fruit on the top of the wall. So what is that area on the top of the wall? It's its own rishus. So you can have members of each of the chateros ascend to the top of the wall, eat the fruit that already was there on the top of the wall. However, Nifrat Akosel, if the wall is breached, Adesar Amos Marvin Shnayin, the Imratu Marvin Echad. A breach in the wall allows them, if they want to make a joint Erev, because that's a Pesach. Mimnei Shehu Kepesach. Exactly what the Mishnah says. Yosef Mikan, but anything more than that. Marvin Echad Vein Marvin Shnayim. But if the breach is more than 10 Amos wide, so now that's not a Pesach, that's just simply a breach. And so then now these two Chatzeros are not two Chatzeros, they're one Chatzer. Okay. All that extra information for our purposes is not necessary for our discussion. Okay, but good. It gave us an opportunity to review the Mishnah. V'havinan ba'in ba'arba amai. But now, here's a part of the discussion that is relevant to us. And that is, what if the top of the wall was less than four tefachim wide? So what is now the area on the top of the wall? So it's a makom pater. So what now can I do regarding fruit on the top of the wall? And amarav avish devishu shalatas bo. So v'lo yaziz bo mali nima. So what Rav says is that under those circumstances, you cannot... The top of the wall is going to now be considered shayach to both of the chateros, and therefore you cannot move an item on the top of the wall, not an iota. Rav Yochanan Amar, Eilam Alam Mekan Veochlin, Veilam Alam Mekan Veochlin. And Rav Yochanan says, what are you talking about now? The top of the area of the wall, so that's now described as a makom pater. As such, as a makom pater, so now each member of the chatzer can go ahead and bring it up to the makom pater. You're transferring from Rishus Yachid to a makom pater. That in of itself is fine. But what you can't do, now this next part over here is not clearly articulated. The Gemara is going to explain it. V'azar of Yochanan Tame, Dechiasar of Dimi, Amar of Yochanan, Malkum Shein, Bo Arba Arba, Mutal of Nevershus Arabim, Lev Nevershus Yachel, Katef Alav. Now, Rav Dimi says that this Shita Rav Yochanan, that when the area on the top of the wall is less than four tefachim, so what I'm allowed to do is transfer from the chatzit to the top of the wall. But what I can't do is then take that item, said item, bring it from the top of the wall and bring it to the other chatzit. That's hachlafa, and that you're not allowed to do. Similar to the Pesach of Yochanan regarding the makom pater that is situated between a Rishus Yachid and Rishus Rabim. Good. What came out from this entire discussion over here is that this Isra of Hachlafa that was introduced to us by Rav Yochanan is not only limited to the case where I have Rishus Yachid on one side, Rishus Rabim on the other side, i.e. an Isra Daraisa, but even in a case where I have a Rishus Yachid on one side, Rishus Yachid on the other side, they are not mu'urav, so therefore there's an Isra Darabanan to transfer from one chatzer to the other chatzer. And what Rav Yochanan is saying is that even in this case over here, Hachlafa would be prohibited, even in Isra Darabanan. So what we now have over here is seemingly a difficulty, because in our case over here, we were describing the embankment of the canal. The embankment of the canal is a makom pater. What our Gemara explains over here is that since the embankment of the canal is a makom pater, so I can do a hachlafa from your home, which is a Rishus Yachid, to the canal itself, which is a Carmelis. And I could do it via the embankment. Why? Because it's hachlafa and it's an Isidore Abundant, and that's fine. But meanwhile, we just learned B'Shem Rav Yochanan, the same Rav Yochanan, that Hachlafa is not going to be permitted, even if the Isser itself is only going to amount to an Isser Durabbanan. Okay, good. That is that presents a problem. Hahi, the Gemara's answer is, Hahi Ze'iri Amra. So the Gemara's response is, yeah, that's Shita of Ze'iri. meaning the way it was originally presented to us is that that was the view of Rav Dimi in the shame of Rav Yochanan. But the Gemara says, no, but that was the Iri who said that if the top of the wall that separates the two chaseros is less than four tfachim, it's a makam potter, you can't do achlafa. And so now what the Gemara is doing is simply saying that, look, Ziri is not going to be in agreement with Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi will tell you that Rav Yochanan's Isra of achlafa is only between a Rishus Yach and a Rishus Rambin. But Ziri's understanding is that even in an Isra Durabanan, there would be an Isra of achlafa. The Gemara says, good, Ziri kashiha. So the Gemara says, that's wonderful, but now what we have is a difficulty for Ziri, because Ziri says that there would be an Isser of Achlafa even when the Makam Patra is situated between Isuri Durabanan, not just Isuri Duraisa. What are you going to do in the case of the canal? Meaning our discussion of today's daf. So Ziri Mokimla Ba'amas Amayim Gufa. So what Ziri will tell you is that the discussion over here about it being less than three tefachim and above, that's talking about the actual width of the Amas Amayim. And Rav Dimi, Tanaihi. And as far as what Rav Dimi said, that anything less than four tefachim is going to be a makam pater. So what Ziri will tell you is that really that's subject to a machlokas tanaim. Not everyone's going to be in agreement to that. Okay. So what do we have over here? So the basic, if I could just help summarize the Gemara, the issue over here is when hachlaf is okay, when hachlaf is not okay. Hachlaf, the idea that I'm going to use a makam pater as a conduit in order to be able to transfer from one area to another, where I couldn't directly transfer from one area to the other, but using the makam pater in the middle as a conduit. So here's what we know for sure. Rav Yochanan taught us that to do so where one side is a Rishus Yach and the other side is Rishus Rabim, to do a chlafa through the makam pater, that is out, that is absolutely forbidden, that's an Issur Durabanan. One is not allowed to do that, that's clear. What is open for discussion, and a big part of today's daf, would it be okay if what exists on the two sides of the makam pater is an Issur Durabanan? Right? Like our case over here, where you're in your home and you want to draw water from the canal, which is a karmelus. So can I use the embankment, the side of the canal, which is a makam pater, can I use that as my middleman, as my conduit? So what the Gemara is arguing is that, what the Gemara is saying is that it's a machlokus of students of Rav Yochanan, whether that's okay or whether that's not okay. Right? So Rav Dimi is quoted saying that that's fine because it's only an Issur Durabanan, and to prohibit Hachlafa would be an Issur Durabanan on an already existing Issur Durabanan. It's kind of like Enosin Gzera Lekzera, something along those lines. And what Ziri is proposing is that no, even on an Issur Durabanan, Rav Yochanan would prohibit it. Our discussion over here is predicated on a different explanation altogether. Okay. Now, V'tehave ki chorei karmelus. Just finishing up the daf now, or finishing to the Mishnah, which I'm going to end. But v'tehave ki chorei karmelus. The Gemara says, here's what I'm struggling with. Even if, let's say, the canal itself is less than three tefachim wide, right? Which is what we proposed just moments earlier. And if it's less than three tefachim wide, it's not a karmelus. But you know how canals work, right? Here in Florida, we see it all over the place. And that is that even the narrower canals are running off of larger canals. So the canal, even though the one that is going through this particular chatzar may be less than three tefachim, but it's running off a larger canal. And we have a principle of chorei rishus yachid and chorei rishus rabim. So when you have little crevices of a rishus yachid, so as long as it is an extension of rishus yachid, the chorei rishus yachid has the same status of being a rishus yachid. And the same thing is true regarding chorei rishus rabim. So over here, isn't there a principle now, or at least the Gemara is suggesting there's a principle of chorei karmelus? The canal that's running through our chatzer, even if it's less than three tefachim, but certainly it's running off of a larger canal. So can't we say now that this canal, even as narrow as it is really as the status of a karmelus? So Abaye baravin Rav Chanina baravin Damri Tavayu ein chorin lekarmelus. So approach number one is no. The idea of Chorei Rishus Yachid and Chorei Rishus Rabim doesn't necessarily extend to a karmelus. Look, the karmelus is a rabbinic institution. It's legal status is based on rabbinic legislation. So the Chachamim just simply said that we're not going to take the principle of Chorei and apply it to a Carmelis. That's one approach. And Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tami Yeshchon LeCarmelis. So Hani Mili B'Smucha Hacha B'Muflegis. And Rav Ashi says basically, look, I'll even entertain there's an idea of Chorei Carmelis, but there's limits of Chorei when it comes to Carmelis. That's only if it's really close, but if it's far away, so we're not going to say that there's Chorei Carmelis. Over here, obviously, the Gemara leaves a lot of this answer unexplained. Close versus far away. If the extension of the canal is close by, so then it's going to have the status of Chorei Carmelis. If it's further away, it's no longer going to have the extension. What's close, what's far away? So the Gemara leaves that unexplained. Anyway, how did we get here? So all because of a brisa that we saw in the Amud Aleph, or the brisa taught us that the people want to take their buckets and extend their buckets out of the window of their homes and draw from the canal that's below. If it is less than 3 tefachim, then it's fine. But if it is 3 tefachim or above, then it's not fine. And so what we were trying to do now for a good part of today's daf is try to figure out what the it is. So we spent a lot of time discussing that maybe the it is describing the embankment of the canal. Good. And now the Gemara is going to give one more approach to how to explain the brisa altogether. Ravina Amar, Kagon Da'avadla Nifke Apume. We're talking about the mouth of the canal. In other words, where the canal is coming into the Chatzir. So from the entrance, from the exit, so these outlets. So if the outlets are less than 3 tefachim, so basically what are we looking at over here? Basically, now it's closed off, not physically, but halachically. And so if the inlet and outlet of the canal that goes to the chatzer is bottled up to less than 3 tefachim, so halacha basically now gets to say that our canal is a closed circuit. It's a closed area. And therefore, the people of the chatzer are allowed to draw from the canal. And now, if this is the correct explanation, what is this explanation predicated on? Lavud, which, as I pointed out, would seem to be the most reasonable explanation, being that we know throughout Shas, the Tanakh Chachamim and Rosh Hashem and Gamliel argue over Lavud. And so now, once we give a Lavud explanation, this fits in wonderfully to what we know in general. And the Gemara makes exactly that point. V'az Rabban Latamayu, Rosh Hashem and Gamliel Latameh. And the Chachamim, Rosh Hashem and Gamliel now are arguing over the measurement of Lavud. According to the Chachamim, less than 3, we say Lavud. According to Shimon Gamliel, we say 4, less than 4 is Lavud. Okay, wonderful. And that explanation is just good in that it fits into what we already know regarding the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rosh Shimon Gamliel. Okay, it gives us a wonderful job to review. We're going to stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah, as the Mishnah brings us to a new topic, and tomorrow we get to start fresh. Okay, our daf today revolved around a couple of things. One, we finished up the discussion from yesterday regarding the idea of suspended walls and the idea that Rav Yossi would not allow a suspended wall on Shabbos. What about the episode of the Sefer Torah? So the Gemara's answer is that the episode of the Sefer Torah was not under the ruling of Rav Yossi, but was under the ruling of Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so that the Gemara sidestepped that issue. Then a big part of today's daf was one, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, who also allows suspended walls, but actually goes one step further. Not only suspended walls, but even the bending of a wall, meaning we're just taking a flat platform and assuming that we have enough material, we're going to be able to bend the walls down halachically. That's kof. And on top of that, also say that the walls continue downward. That's good achis. So using two halachic principles in order to allow you to draw water through this apparatus. Good. So that was Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya. And the Gemara notes that Rabbi Yehuda may not go that far. Rabbi Yehuda is allowing for suspended walls, but to go also and say and use the principle of kof, of bending the wall, so Rabbi Yehuda may not go that far. And then once the Gemara had the sheet to Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya, the Gemara wanted to see a couple of applications, more than a couple. 3 different applications of Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya regarding the bending of the platform. Good. Then we saw the Mishnah in Pei Zayin Amud Aleph talking about a canal running through the Chatzer. When a canal runs through the Chatzer, so if there are walls on the entrance and the exit of the canal through the Chatzer, that's good. Rabbi Yehuda, consistent with what he taught us in the previous Mishnah, says, I don't need walls in the canal. The walls that are running over the canal, that's going to be satisfactory. because those walls continued downward. Good. On the Amud Aleph, we went through a couple of brisas. One brisa basically was a repetition of the Mishnah. A second brisa talks about how people who have windows hovering over the canals, so they can draw their bucket. They can lower their bucket, draw water from the canal, bring it up, but only if it is less than 3 tefachim. And the remainder of today's daf was discussing what was the it of the brisa. Only if it was less than 3 tefachim, what was less than 3 tefachim? So for a good part of the daf today, we were assuming that maybe we're talking about the embankment of the canal. And it brought us to the discussion of hachlafa, meaning I'm going to transfer my bucket from a rishos yachid, that's my home, to the embankment of the canal, that's a makom pater, then bring it from there into the canal, that's a karmelis, and using the makom pater as a middleman to be able to transfer from a rishos yachid to a karmelis. Is that acceptable? Major debate in today's daf, in terms of whether or not hachlafa would be okay by nisa derabanan. By nisa deraisa, it's definitely not acceptable, it's not okay. And that was brought to us by Rav Yochanan. Would hachlafa be okay by nisa derabanan? A big discussion in today's daf, basically a machlokas amarayim, whether hachlafa would be acceptable by nisa derabanan. That was one way to explain the machlokas, or the brisa, of it being less than 3 tefachim. And the second way to explain it was Ravina, and that is that we're talking about the inlet and the outlet of the canal. If the inlet and outlet of the canal are narrower than 3 tefachim, so Lava tells us that basically it's closed off. And so now our canal is a self-enclosed structure, and so therefore you're allowed to transfer from the canal, because the now canal serves basically as a Rishus Yachid within the Rishus Yachid. It's a wonderful explanation, because then it explains beautifully the brisa that has a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rishim and Gamliel, and this fits in with what we already know, that they argue over the shear of Lavud.